From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Hand raised, guys, whatever you want to call this thing, as we're going live on Monday night. Camera's a little jittery. I'll try to fix it in a second when we get going here in a minute for tonight's show. We'll be with you for a little over an hour. We'll see how far it goes. I don't know what we're going to do about calls yet. We haven't gotten to that part, but we'll see. Once we kind of get some thoughts, see how far we make it into today's podcast, a podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember, your game ticket for the basketball at the Pavilion all season long is a coupon, so take care over at the Oxford Crystal. You know, the provider of our chicks. $150 off a sackful or a steamer pack there with them. Get some daiquiris to celebrate. Get lunch specials that are $4.99, ribs, and more there with the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it, ask for Corey Clark, tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, and you can shop it around, or you can do what I've done, and that's hop into a Clark Ford. You'll love the product. And you'll love the service. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. He'll prove that to you. 662-257-1900.
Lane Kiffin introduced today at the Pavilion, the 1 o'clock thing that everybody saw, I'm sure. And then meeting with us and the media for about 20 minutes after that as well. We got some impressions. We'll talk about that a little bit. We got some contract numbers. They're out on the road recruiting. So we'll just kind of hit a little bit of everything. We'll look at the live chat. You guys have some questions, we'll take that as well and interact with you as we go. We've got the Giants and the Eagles on the television here in the Clark Ford studio as we're getting going as well. So it's kind of the setup for tonight as we're going. Neil has a column up about how in some ways Lane Kiffin looked a lot like Nick Saban today.
Sounded
during
a
his
lot
personal.
Like Nick Saban too. And all if right. I'm an Ole Miss all fan.
Right. All right.
And even the things that he said. You know what I'm saying?
Hands.
Doing literally everything with Saban, it was uncanny.
It's kind of weird, wasn't it?
And he did not do it in the press conference part. He did it in the formal thing. By the way, a little contract news. The fifth year of his contract is technically guaranteed.
It's going to have a one-year rollover?
It has a guaranteed one-year rollover. It actually has several rollovers, but the first one is guaranteed. After that, there's a cutoff date that Ole Miss has to inform by. Come on.
Whatever.
The fifth year on the deal is 4.3.
So it goes up again more time.
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. And then I put in, it's up at rebelgrove.com. There's all of his bonus structure, okay? It's all the bonus structure. Like fifth win, he gets a little more money.
Starting with the fifth SEC, we'll do this now. Just quickly go over them. We're not going to bore you to death. Starting with the fifth SEC win, basically, if you have a winning season, $150,000 per win from that point.
Right.
If he beats Baylor, he gets $100,000. Beats Louisville next year, gets $100,000. Yep. Those Power 5 non-con wins. Gets $50,000, basically, if he goes to any bowl game whatsoever, and then it starts going up from there all the way to $125,000, $250,000 for an access bowl.
Gets
and then
a million
if you get in the playoff, it
title.
Starts really going a little crazy
gets
there.
Gets $1 million for a national title. I'm going to go ahead and break it to you. If he wins a national title, he's going to get more than $1 million.
Whatever he wants.
He's going to get more than $1 million. I got a feeling that Jimmy Sexton would call up Keith Carter at that point and say,
I know there's a bonus in there. I get that.
Thought maybe we ought to renegotiate. At which point Keith would say, you know what? We probably should.
Yeah. Here's the vault. Here's a key. Tell him whatever he'd like. Go in there and grab it. Let me know when he's done. It's pretty much what that means. He gets $50,000 for some Coach of the Year stuff. He gets $150,000 if APR certain numbers, $100,000. A lot of ways to make some cash in this. And a big important number for Ole Miss, $5.3 million for 10 assistant coaches. Based off this past year's numbers, that would place them 13th nationally in assistant coach salary. So that's kind of where that number is. And then $2.2 million for basically for support staff. Let's just put it that way. I have no idea where that factors in.
So 5.3 and 2.2, well, I can give you a comparison. That's 7.5, which is $2.5 million total, more than what what's-his-face is getting at Arkansas.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I don't know what Drinkwitz is getting at Missouri.
And Arkansas, where Pittman has no coaching experience, and they have to surround him with a good staff, or it is a nightmare.
I don't want to spend more than 30 seconds on it. Did you watch any of that today?
No. Oh. I heard he was a mascot. I heard it was a kind of a cartoon character.
It was terrible. It was terrible. I think Drinkwitz is doing his tomorrow. I'll be curious to see his, because it's, you always want to see the new guys. When they all come in together, you want to see what they do. Boy, that one at
Pittman, not good.
No, it was bad.
Was it really?
Yeah, it's bad. I'm Hunter Yurecek. When I got home tonight, I said, "Hey, honey, let's get
let's
the
start
house ready
looking
to
a
sell,
little bit,
because we're gonna have to get out of here."
That's a win next year. They're gonna suck. They're gonna suck.
Yeah.
I mean, just awful.
Yeah, Elijah Drinkwitz is correct. Jason Peep says $4 million a year.
Yeah.
Hey, good for you. Attaboy.
Turn 1 year at App State into $4 million a year in Missouri.
Yes, sir. Happy Merry Christmas at the Drinkwitz house.
So, yeah, I'm seeing some stuff here. We'll get into Lane a little bit. We'll get into our impressions for today. He was more comfortable with us than he was in the big room or in the pavilion. He's an introvert. We've talked about this. Very confident, great recruiter, great in small spaces, more comfortable with a smaller group, more comfortable where he's sitting down just talking. Not having to do that whole perform thing. It's not really not really his style. He got through it. It was fine. But he was much more jovial, joking around with us when he was behind the thing. I don't know what you want to call
it. Didn't surprise either of us, because we had talked to a lot of people and we knew that's what he was. He was kind of nervous almost up on the stage. I don't blame him. You look up and there's 4,000 people there. It's unbelievable how many people were there, by the way. 4,000 people there and his kids are sitting right there, and he had kind of some prepared remarks, and he perspired a little. He was a little nervous. He's a human being. And then when he got into the media room, I thought he was really relaxed, and
great.
He was great. Yeah. It was much more his element.
Here's what he was. Showed you every bit of the maturity that we've been talking about. He's grown. Different guy than he was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple times going, "Hey, that's fair. I'll answer it. I'll tell you where I'm at now. It's completely different." Reiterated the SEC thing that we've been talking about nonstop, about how this is an institution that can win games and is in the SEC.
Yeah.
That's it. That is what this is.
I love it.
I mean,
it's so fun to watch this guy do everything. I'm either going to find out in the next few years if I'm completely wrong all these years or if I was so right. Because everything he was today is what I've been saying. That's what Ole Miss needs to do. Been saying it for a decade. Get out of this, "Hey, let's find somebody that loves Ole Miss" thingy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with loving Ole Miss. But if loving Ole Miss is the qualification, well, then just walk in the Grove and pick a random dude or woman and say, "Go coach the football team." If that's it.
He has a very good handle on what Ole Miss is, I feel like. He mentioned multiple times, hey, they've been good, but then they fall off. They've been good. It's not sustained to this point. We got to sustain it. He talked about rosters. He talked about how
that was the
big thing. You can get 5 stars. You can do all that. We're going to go sign stars. We're going to get big time recruits. We're also going to develop the bottom of the roster.
Yeah,
we're going to make sure everybody can help in some way, because you're probably not going to do this USC thing where you just sign 25 5 stars and it is what it is.
Right.
But hey, we're going to make sure that guy counts. It's evaluating and doing this. He talked about this too from an Alabama standpoint of you're evaluating and recruiting to niches and needs, and everybody fills roles. This is what I want this guy to do. This is why I'm recruiting him, is to do this.
Yeah.
If he does more than that, great. But he's here to do this.
Well, one of the things I found interesting is he talked about how he did that at FAU over the last 3 years. I think FAU was, to some degree, and I'm not completely making this up. He went to Alabama for 3 years, and he sponged Nick Saban. I've talked to some people who said Lane Kiffin sometimes would drive Nick Saban crazy asking questions. Just questions, not about the game coming up or the practice coming up or whatever, but about program building. And Saban, to his credit, answered them, and he sponged. And he went to FAU and tried a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'd kind of put his experiment to work, and I think now he was ready to go to the SEC, and here he is. And
it was a feather in the cap for him, because he's mentioned this today. FAU, the 3 years prior to him getting there, they went 3-9 all 3 years. So 3-9, 3-9, 3-9. Then the seniors won 11 games, won a conference title.
Yeah.
Fell off a little bit last year. still were good or further level. And then won 10 this year, and they got a chance to win 11 in the bowl game.
10 and
three. His point, though, was he said, you know, there was always the knock on him that always had the best players. So I was at Alabama, I was at USC, at Tennessee, recruited well, and, you know, kind of had the 1 year. It was okay, but it wasn't anything great. He goes, went to FAU. Now you're playing other teams of that level, but had no star players. Had guys with no NFL potential at all. But realized, hey, this is still how we evaluate. It's still how we recruit. It's still how we turn a program around. And you had to learn how to take that whole roster and develop it. Because that was the only way to do anything at Florida Atlantic, was to develop all of it, all 85.
Right.
So he said, hey, let's do this. Now we bring this back. You put it on an SEC level. We're going to get better players. We still have to do that same thing. That's the plan moving forward as this thing goes. And I mean, I thought it was pretty enlightening, honestly. It was.
I found it to be refreshingly intelligent. I'm not making fun of anybody who's been here before. The answers had depth. They were thoughtful.
No cliche, no coach speak, no, none of that stuff. No,
none of that. You know, kind of what did you get out of different places? And he talked about it. It's also going to be interesting because it's going to be so different here from a media standpoint. He's the voice. He's the voice. We're going to talk to some players, but we're going to get Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, we're, you know, fans, media members, you're used to coordinators on Monday, assistant coaches on Wednesday, whomever after games. Nope, Lane Kiffin. And players. Coach-wise, Lane Kiffin.
We're going to get players on and Lane Kiffin on Monday. And we'll get some players on another day of practice. I don't think it'll be this. I think we'll finally break the routine. And I'm so glad, because I'm tired of the routine. There will be more structure to it. And it won't be everybody. I think if they do it the way they did it at Alabama, and I always liked this, there were more players. They came all at the same time, and you had to choose which couple of guys you were going to go talk to. So you had to be kind of thoughtful about it. Now it's one at a time. We all get the exact same thing, and it's, frankly, it's really boring, if I'm honest. I'm kind of excited about it. I kind of feel refreshed.
The two hires he's willing to admit and talk about to this point, Wilson Love, we've already mentioned that, strength conditioning coach. I think he was actually on the road with Kiffin tonight. I think he was in that photo that I saw.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Smith, the former running back for the Detroit Lions. He's come from
they're in Horn Lake
from
tonight,
FAU,
right?
Two Ole Miss's running backs coach.
Are they in Horn Lake recruiting? I believe the parents are recruiting the kids, because the kids are in Hattiesburg.
He was in a picture with a kid somewhere. I don't know who it was.
Maybe
or
the
anywhere.
Kids are coming down tomorrow,
I don't know,
to Hattiesburg.
But there was a kid in the first photo I saw tonight on the message board. But, yeah, Kevin Smith coming with him from Florida Atlantic. Smith was at UCF at Central Florida with Scott Frost prior to that. And then was the entire tenure at FAU with Lane. So that's his background. He played at UCF, and then obviously was a player for the Lions for a while. So that's that. Either way, trying to think. He was already here today. He was with Lane the whole time today. Best
here.
I could tell.
I don't know that we have answers yet on a lot of this. Pete Golding's a no. That's off the board. I don't know whether Mike McIntyre is on the board or not. I don't know for different things.
Yeah, just because, look, guys, just because they're recruiting tonight means nothing.
No.
It means they have available spots and those guys are still on the payroll. At the moment, that's
right.
All that means.
They have not been let go yet.
Best I can tell, I feel really good about Freddie Roach remaining. Otherwise, that's all I got.
Yeah, they've let – who have they let go? Peeler's been let go.
Coons has been let go.
Bicknell and Rodriguez have been let go. And if there's somebody else, I don't know of it.
I think that's it.
That doesn't mean anything. I told you yesterday, I talked to someone very close to him who
said... The picture
was
with Ja'Kevion Brown.
Okay.
And it is Roach, Love, Charles Clark, Mike McIntyre, Lane, Siski, and appears to be Knox is in the photo as well. His son.
Oh.
The 10-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah. So Kiffin, Siski, Clark, Mac, Love, Roach is in the photo. But again, I'll be stunned if Charles Clark is remaining, frankly. Just I haven't heard his name at all is the reason I say
I
that.
Either.
So if so, I'm surprised, but that's just because I haven't heard it either way.
No Derek
Nix
in that photo.
No Derek Nix in that photo. We were told today that he probably is staying a special teams coach. However, I have no further confirmation on that whatsoever.
Right.
As of 8:15 p.m.
Hadn't heard anything about Tyrone Nix.
Nothing. We know he has some interviews tomorrow. We know he's not done yet.
Interviewing Jeff Lebby tomorrow.
Yeah.
Still waiting to see what happens with the FAU job, his old job, so that he can see with Kendall Briles. I've had someone.
And Kevin Smith, he's in the photo star too.
I've had someone tell me that Clemens, the OL coach.
I think it's Clemens. But I don't know. You messed me up because I had it right all morning and then you started doing this all day.
Well, I'm very sorry.
I know.
I feel awfully bad about it. Clemens. Randy Clemens. I'm told that that he is likely, which I'm not willing to say, but that's what I'm told.
So Clemens was the offensive line coach, run game coordinator at Baylor under Art Briles from 2008 to 2016. And then he was at Florida State this past season.
Thank you, Mark. That's very nice of you. We really appreciate it. I'm almost hesitant to say this because it's just going to get people fired up. It's going to get people worked up. And I can't vouch for it. It's rumor. Okay?
You're kind of stuck now, though.
Yep. I'm told Lance Thompson wants to come and join Lane Kiffin in Oxford. I believe that.
Good recruiter.
Same person told me that Bo Davis, the former Alabama assistant who got in trouble with the Jeffrey Simmons thingy.
He was at UTSA, I think, maybe most recently, maybe. Something like
show that. Causes are over. Told that he would like to come as well, and I'm told that Kiffin has interest in one or both of them. Here's the part that is interesting. I am told, this is rumor, okay? Rumor. So please don't say I reported this because I'm not reporting it. I'm bringing up the rumor so that we can talk about it. The rumor is Greg Sankey has to approve their hirings. And as of earlier today, my person was not sure that had happened yet. And I'm not sure that Ole Miss has requested it either.
Is it a rubber stamp, in your opinion?
I don't know. So I heard a little bit last week that one of the hang-ups, if you will, and I don't think it was a hang-up. I just think things have to be talked about, was that there was some concern about bringing in multiple people who had just come off of show causes, and there was an assumption, I think, among the people that included Chris Kiffin, and I don't think it did. I think that now I hear this, and I think, it might have had to do with Davis and or Thompson. Not Chris. So does the commissioner rubber stamp it, or does he want to talk to the people first? I don't know.
And to me, it's one of those deals where I don't think it's really even blocking, but I do think he wants some sort of approval. You know what I mean? Blocking probably is a little too strong. You can hire whoever you want.
Yeah, no one has told me that he's blocked it. It's just that it has to be approved. And again, I don't know that. I mean, look, Lane Kiffin got to Oxford at 5:30 on a Sunday night.
He did.
He worked for about 4 hours, and then he and his agent and some other people went to dinner at Jinsei, which I've never been to. I've had multiple people say, well, how's Jinsei? I'm like, I don't know. I've never been.
It's good. It's fine. Yeah.
So they worked 4 hours. I think Lane was exhausted, got up early.
Had a 6:30 meeting with a recruit this morning.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't know that they've gotten around to even requesting it. I was told again yesterday by someone who would absolutely know that Lane is not in a massive hurry to fill out the staff. He wants to get it done quickly, but he's not going to panic and do it too quickly, and that he will be deliberate. So it is certainly conceivable that he has not yet asked the commissioner for permission. He mentioned today that he talked to the commissioner today. It's possible that came up in that conversation. I don't know.
That's what you got.
Yeah. So I get some of the sentiment about Sankey here, but I think that sentiment probably is premature right now.
I don't think it would actually be stopped. I don't. that doesn't pass the test.
No, I don't think it would be stopped. If you tell me that the commissioner would like to have a conversation about it, perhaps even with the people involved, to say, "Hey,
we good?
Hey, we there are rules. I realize you're a little pissy about some of the stuff that happened, but there are rules, and you're
get some lawyers, guys.
Yeah, be smart.
That's what Slav would say.
Be smarter. Yes.
Hey, let's. Thank you. I don't know, but we'll see.
Yeah,
a little different teeth. Talk a little more about what Lane said.
Hey, by the way, congratulations before you do that. Congratulations to our friend. I'm tired. He's hitting me. From Oxford. Gosh, I'm embarrassed.
Whoa.
Deputy Commissioner of the SEC.
Charlie Hussey.
Hussey, thank you.
Yeah. Now the Deputy Commissioner of the SEC.
Now the Deputy Commissioner of the SEC. That's a huge move for Charlie.
He's going to be the SEC Commissioner one day.
He's positioned himself now to be the next Commissioner of the SEC. And
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Seto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you can look at underwriting and understand your market, a leader in condo financing, the float down option, and with the rates as low as they've been in about 2 years, good time to talk to Jason. You can do that at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Guests are going to join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters is sports, music, drink, and food. It's known for its great food, New Orleans-style po' boys, and handcrafted burgers, all with the Cajun flair. Rafters on the Square offers the best sports viewing in Oxford, 14 large flat screens plus a 17-foot big screen on the Rafters stage. Rafters is known for its famous Bloody Mary. They've got three full bars, including an outside patio bar. They're open Monday through Thursday at 5 and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Sunday brunch is voted the best brunch in Oxford. Begins at 10:45, goes until 3, and it features a live bluegrass band and $3 mimosas. We are going to be, it's a source right there. I'll send a text. We are going to do some basketball shows there, not shows, but watch parties, maybe some baseball watch parties when the Rebels go on the road as well. So familiarize yourself with Rafters because we're going to make it a part of what we do. Really excited to be partnering with them. We've been partnering with Oxford University Bank for a while now. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with a personal touch. And when you call OUB, you speak directly with the person. No 5-minute wait, no 10 buttons, no computers. You get Casas. It's the absolute best cash checking account. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. Been in Oxford a long time. Nobody knows the condo and residential market better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. He's also a big part of Savannah Square. Go to that site, savannahsquareoxford.com. Get in touch with Harry. Take a look at those properties, 662-801-5621. And we're brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast. You get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
So, Hugh asking in the live chat about the team meeting. We have talked to a couple people who've talked to people who were in the room. As expected, went pretty well. We know Grant Tisdale's back in. Matt Corral retweeted that as well or commented on it to some extent. So, look, all SEC football coaches are professional salesmen. Their job is to settle down a lot of that talk to get the team back motivated. Lane Kiffin was always going to do that. That was never going to be a problem whatsoever.
Open blank slate.
Yeah, blank slate. Have at it. Let the talent win, I think is the way you put it. Yeah. And they're going to start from scratch. So, yeah, I think the team responded well, best I can tell. I mean, you never know about if there's one person somewhere. But for the most part, I've heard everything's good. And they'll go from here. That was not a worry. I mean, again, some guys have got to be in the transfer portal. They got to make room for a class. I mean, somebody's got to go.
Yeah.
So you don't need everybody back.
I think DeMarcus Gregory jumped out of the portal.
He did, yeah. We knew that on Saturday.
I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. He was all in back, all good to go. That's the other one I've heard to this point.
Dustin, thank you so much for the gift. Really appreciate it.
So I mentioned in the live chat, the Clarion Ledger writer for Mississippi State's Clarion Ledger writer was in the room. Asked about the Egg Bowl and about the rivalry with Mississippi State.
And did not appear to like the answers.
Lane was fairly soft-spoken for much of the day. He might have even got even more soft-spoken. He said the prerequisite, hey, everybody's got some rivals. I'm sure this one's unique in a way, and we'd like to keep all the local talent in the house, essentially. He gave no indication that he has any desire or need to make the state game any type of emotional situation whatsoever, frankly, and thought in a lot of ways that was music to a lot of Ole Miss people's ears that, hey, it's just another football game. And frankly, Lane knows because he's smart and he's got a whole different idea of where this program is headed, in his opinion.
Yep.
You got to beat State to get there. It was just one you got to get on the way up.
I hate to break this to the Mississippi State faithful. However long the Lane Kiffin tenure lasts at Ole Miss, whether it's a couple of years or 10 years,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to get the rhetoric that you want so badly from him.
No.
I don't think he's ever going to say, boy, I tell you what, it's big, big, big game. It's just a huge game whenever these two get together, storied rivalry. He doesn't care.
It's one of 12 and one he needs to win.
It's one of the – yeah, this is not – now, if you tell me that there's a little spark in his eye, a little glint in his eye when – the Rebels are getting ready to play Alabama, I'll buy it. If you tell me that he gets a little geeked up to head down to Tiger Stadium to go against his buddy Ed, I'm in. I got it. I agree. That he gets a little fired up for that trip to Tennessee next year, I can see that too.
Yeah, 2021, headed back to Knoxville.
He might not even try to downplay that. He might say, yeah, I've got some emotions on this one. But that the big tilt in Starkville, nah.
Okay, let me ask it this way because we've done this before, okay? Houston beat State 9 out of 10 times or 10 out of 11 times when he was at Arkansas.
Yeah.
Didn't care, beat them 45 to nothing, and then that next year in 09 got popped. Does he have to understand what they think of the rivalry? Is that important when this game comes, A? And B, I think in Lane's mind, he's simply going to out-talent them as this thing gets going. In Lane's mind, he's about to go sign some top 10 classes and frankly put a talent discrepancy in place where he's just going to go win the football game more times than not. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like he – I mean, Lane knows the SEC. He knows where Ole Miss is now, but he also knows where he wants to take Ole Miss. And because of that, he just kind of sees it as a thing. Like it's just on the way up. That's it. That's what he sees at State. But does he have to understand a little different what it's like with an Ole Miss script on his chest playing them versus when he was at Alabama? We'll put
I'll
it that
answer
way.
That in a second. Thank you so much to Love to Hunt 1973, and also to Lance LaFont, Jonathan Ingram. Appreciate you guys.
Good to see you, Jonathan.
Yeah, good to see you. I'm sure some, but. You see his personality. This is not – he's not going to fall into that trap. Houston was hokey. And also, Houston got beat in 09 in a game that he shouldn't have gotten beat, and his program fell off the map. Houston didn't get fired because he lost to Mississippi State. Houston got fired because he lost to Jacksonville State. Houston got fired because he lost to Vanderbilt. Houston got fired because he lost to Louisiana Tech. Houston got fired because he lost to everyone. Not Mississippi State. I heard someone say, you know, Horka did it today. You know, Matt Luke, Eddie Wimbabo. The question that went on and on and
on. Yeah, it took like 25 seconds to spit it out. And at the end of the day, he just wanted to know, hey, does this game matter?
And the truth is, Matt Luke did not get fired because he lost to Mississippi State twice. Matt Luke got fired because he lost to everybody not named Arkansas. He didn't win league games. Matt Luke got fired because no one showed up to the stadium. Matt Luke got fired because the apathy had kicked in. Matt Luke got fired because it just wasn't going to work anymore. Not because of Mississippi State. Don't make it more. I get the narrative, and boy, that Clarion Ledger loves it, and the state beat needs it. He's not going to do it.
I don't think he's going to screw with them on Twitter. I don't think.
He's going to have fun with some others and play around. First year, he's going to get to work. I mean, I did you see the guy's eyes today? He's ready to get to this. Dude's serious.
His entire day today, from he had a meeting with Vault Society members before the press conference, did some of that stuff. He talked to us. He did the big thing. He had to go talk to the team. Everywhere he was going, it was, hey, can I go? Can I move on to the next thing? Let's get going. I need to go recruit. I need to go see this person. He was not into all the pomp and circumstance today. He wanted to go to work. That's what Lane Kiffin wanted to do today.
I would like to say hello to two of my very favorite people in Fayetteville, Arkansas, Parker Sharon, Campbell McCready. What's up? Thank you for watching.
We're big in Fayetteville these days.
They sent me a Mr. picture. They're having a watch party at Reed Hall. Shout out to Reed Hall. Make sure you're studying.
You're well liked by all the hogs, so.
Not all the hogs.
Not all the hogs.
Those two like me. Parker, congratulations on the half marathon. That's awesome.
Music to his to your ears as well today. The other thing that stuck out, he made mention, and he's right, 100% right here on this, that coaches are too conservative. Yep. He mentioned that a lot of times coaches do the easy thing or the expected thing because they don't want to deal with a press conference. They don't want to deal with all the heat that something didn't go wrong. And he made a point to say they didn't want to get ripped, but get ready to rip him. Dylan told me a little while ago that they had fished through a bunch of stats, and that unless like the time was running out or there was something game situation-wise, this is pretty interesting, game situation-wise to dictate it, they could not find where Lane Kiffin kicked a field goal on 4th-and-3 or less. Just went for
it. His life just keeps getting better.
Just went for it.
Yeah.
Went through all of his stuff, and unless there was a time to dictate it or something, yeah, game situation, if it was 4th-and-3 or less, just went for it.
Go play. He's going to be fun, man.
That's what he said. He goes, quit kicking long field goals.
Yeah.
And go for it on fourth down.
Go for it.
That's what he said.
It's going to be great because there's going to okay, I'm going to paint with the broad brush here. This doesn't apply to everybody, but there's going to be the old traditionalists that are going to get mad at some of this. And I think young people are going to be like, in.
Oh, there's going to be some gray hairs on the first time he gets down to the 21 and it's 4th-and-1, I kick the 38-yarder and now he's going for it. It's not happening. Not happening, not happening, not happening.
Have fun. It's football.
And it's where his...
Well, his analytics.
It's two things. It's analytics. They're doing all this stuff. We'll talk about this. As analytics and technology evolve and the way they're doing all this. And then two, it's all in the binder. And then two, it's that he has this gene where no matter who is out there, he just doesn't care. Everybody calls it don't give a... But, I mean, yeah, he just, okay, fine, I mean, have on at it. It's going to be all right.
He's already
had... Because he has that level of self-confidence, though. He believes in himself enough where he doesn't really give a crap.
Yeah.
I'm doing what I think I should do. You paid me to do what I'm supposed to do. Okay, we're going to move on now.
And he talks about it today. He goes, yeah, you know, the Tennessee thing, I probably didn't handle it exactly right. You know, it's fair. I didn't. I learned from it. You know, the USC thing, you know, they left me on the He made the tarmac joke.
He did.
Which was really funny. And he talked about his time at Alabama. And if you listen to the words when he talked about his time at Alabama, it was really humble. Learned a lot. Acknowledged, hey, I'm in the presence of greatness here and I'm learning. And he's tweaked Saban a couple of times and had a little fun on Twitter, but he also is very public in his respect for Nick Saban. And then he talked about, hey, you know, I went down to FAU and he acknowledged it wasn't the same game day experience. It's different than the SEC, but that he learned a lot. I saw a guy today that was kind of eager to get going. That media stuff, standing up there and talking to 4,000 people, I think he was moved by it. Like, whoa, this is awesome. But that's not his deal. His deal is coaching football on a sideline, going to recruit, that stuff.
You could realize quickly today, because we were around a lot of them, you could realize quickly today what media had done some homework on him and knew what he was like.
Yeah.
And which ones didn't. Because
which ones bought the stereotype.
Yeah, because somebody goes, hey, that's not what it was like. No, that's not what he is. You just had this thing in your head where you thought he's this bombastic, loud, whatever. And it's like, no.
He has fun on Twitter.
Yeah, he has fun on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's it. Feinbaum today called him probably the most media savvy coach they ever dealt with.
I watched his Feinbaum interview. He was great.
Probably true.
He's not going to do a lot of... He's going to shake it up. There are going to be people that are just not going to adjust well. He's going to shake it up.
It is a transition period for people.
It's going to be different all the way around. Throughout that building, throughout the media, throughout a lot of things. And he's kind of a football nerd. You know, happens to be a good-looking, charismatic guy, but deep down, he's a football nerd. Who, when he was in Tuscaloosa, asked tons and tons of questions to the point where I think sometimes Saban was like, hey, go to work. I'm tired of talking. Told that by numerous people that just sponged it, which I think is fascinating. Do I think access will be gone, Matt asked? Yes, I think the building will be closed to the hangers-on and media types who would go in there and just hang out. It's going to be harder to get information.
Because that's about the early signing period. And he said, after this, I believe we're going somewhere, meaning literally to recruit. Last night, I had a meeting with a recruit last night around 8 p.m., another one this morning around 6:30 a.m. You don't win in this conference just by being a good coach. You win in this conference by having really good assistants who get really good players. There's too much talent in this conference. What is realistic for this early signing period, in your opinion? What are the goals? What are the tasks?
Salvage it in the early period, and then I think they have a chance to regroup. He'll have coaches in here, and I think they'll try to steal a couple in the late period. And then I think that 2021 class, my prediction, I feel even stronger about it.
Top 10 class.
National class.
2021.
Yep. Splash.
I think they had a decommit tonight from the kid from South Panola in the 2021 class.
It'll be all right.
Yeah, you do. I told Neil, and his facial expression was just like, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah,
come on, be all right.
Whatever.
They can get him back if they want him. He can go somewhere else. They're going to recruit nationally. That's the other thing. He got asked a lot of Mississippi questions, and it was kind of like, yeah, you know, look. I mean, I read into it. Yeah, I mean, we're going to recruit Mississippi kids, the ones that are good enough to play for me. I'm going to go after them hard. But I want to get players. He wants players. Thank you, ATL Reb. It's very nice. Long
top 25 ranking should not be the goal for 2021 at all. That loses. That is top 25 in the SEC is losing, is what that is. Losing. You got to have top 10 classes. Your bad classes have to be top 15, top 18.
Yeah, that's how you
win. That's how you win in this league.
Well, look, let's look at who's in the league that you compete against. Alabama, top 5 recruiting all the time. Mm-hmm. LSU right now, what are they, like second or third in the country recruiting? Got to give credit, Nick Saban. I mean, Ed Orgeron's doing a terrific job. Gus Malzahn has always been 8th to 13th-ish in recruiting. And now Jimbo Fisher's at A&M, and they're heavily invested.
Ole Miss last had a top 10 class in 2016.
Yeah.
Had another one in 2013.
And lo and behold, those are good classes. Do it again. They'll do it again next year. And then, and this is where he's right. He talked about it. It's not about doing it once. It's about doing it over and over and over again. I've had people tell me, yeah, you know, he's looking to leave. He's looking to leave. I'm going to tell you, having spoken to some people, that's a big time throw from, is that Eli? Yeah. Look at him.
He's played pretty well tonight.
He has played. Well, he looks like he's kind of
having fun.
Having some fun. Good for him. There's a lot of family there. You kind of wonder if this is
they will
goodbye.
Be up 17-3 likely at halftime. Is there 27 seconds left?
Yeah. I think it's just going to be a completely different approach to recruiting. One of the things I'm most interested to see is how they handle the summer. Do they just take a bunch of guys to fill a class? I'm not saying that's what the previous staff did, but it kind of felt that way sometimes. Or do they go more big game hunting, save spots? Just kind of curious to see. Don't know. Don't know the answer.
Because it's a hybrid. That's what's funny about it, is the first time he's had to put a hybrid together. You know, at USC, it's just, hey, best. Because he mentioned that. He goes, everything's changed so much in 10 years. He said at USC, it was so much more about, hey, we're just going to recruit these guys. We're not going to recruit these guys. And essentially, they just picked 25 of the top 200 players in the country and sign them. There wasn't a lot of analytics and evaluation for the most part. It was just, these are our dudes.
Yeah.
And then, and, you know, at Alabama, it was more, no, hey, how do they fit it? It's what Siski's trying to do. It actually, I mean, Siski was at Alabama. It breeds into what their plan already was. Lane is just a head coach that can take that preparation to a whole nother level. It just is what
it is. And that's what he talked about, you know. Yeah. It's what you see in Major League Baseball right now is the ability, in NBA right now, is the ability to take analytics, figure them out, communicate them, and apply them. It's multifaceted.
Talent, size-speed ratio, character to some extent, and then what exactly do we want them to do in the program and how do they fit into it?
Yeah, how do they project?
Blowing up?
No.
All good?
I think all is well. Oh, I do have a name.
Okay.
Don't know whether this is another rumor. Here we go. Rumor time. Not McCready reporting.
We need like a rumor, like
we sound. Need like a sound effect.
Yeah.
A candidate for the wide receiver coach spot is DJ McCarthy. He was his wide receiver coach apparently at FAU. Was at LSU with Les Miles during the championship run.
DJ McCarthy.
Yes, DJ McCarthy is what I'm told.
I know nothing about him.
I don't either.
That's a rumor?
Rumor.
You're just putting it in a rumor right now.
Yes. We do have a soundboard. We just don't know how to do some of the
Well, stuff. No, the sound. Well, the other soundboard does have the little sounds on it. This one doesn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Remember you have like the clapping and the honk and the siren and stuff?
On the little
board. Yeah, the little board does. Let's see.
The comments on Kiffin. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right, Chris. My mind is nutty tonight. I asked somebody who would know, you know, is this going to be quick if he's successful? And the answer was no. He really wants to build something. He sees this as an opportunity. Now, Ole Miss has to do its part, but he sees this as an opportunity to do something that is a legacy. Nick Saban did it at Alabama, in a place where everybody said, you can't build a legacy at Alabama. There's already a legacy at Alabama. When I tell you Alabama football right now, do you think Bear Bryant or do you think Nick Saban?
It's Nick Saban.
Yeah. He wants to do it at a place where people say you can't do it. That's why I think in many ways he's perfect to be like, not this is going to sound cliche, I don't mean it to be, but to be the coach of the Rebels, he's a rebel. He kind of is. I don't know that he always was, but he is now.
No, he used to be the golden boy.
When he left Tennessee like that and got raked over the coals, if he were a wrestler, he went from being a pretty boy to a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. A heel.
A heel. I couldn't. Yeah. Man, I'm.
You're struggling today. You've been up for a long time.
Been
by
up
this
since
point.
1:30.
The last time we were sitting in these seats, you were telling us about your morning and. Yeah. You haven't exactly slowed down since then.
No.
We'll keep going 1 second. Neil might need a flu shot if he hasn't gotten that. He could go to G&M and knock that out. $0 copay on most insurance plans. You don't have to wait in line for the overall pharmacist. They take care of you as quickly and painlessly as possible. That's Tyson Drugs on the Square in Holly Springs or G&M Pharmacy. Lights off South Lamar in Oxford. 662-236-2222.
Some people might say that we deserve a vacation when this is over. If we were going to take one, we would probably be smart to call John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. What we would do is we would say, so John, I'm thinking about going to a beach. I need a beach, need a place to go recharge my batteries, lay around, drink some rum. What do you suggest? He'd say, well, give me some parameters and give me a budget. And I'd say, okay. And then he would give me a bunch of options that I probably would not think of on my own. And I don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of it. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. Also brought to you by the Weston Jackson. They sponsor my mailbag, which I have already started working on today. The Weston Jackson's a Marriott property in downtown Jackson. It's home to Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. It's also home to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, where you can sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's offerings are terrific. You'll enjoy them. You should try them out at Estelle as soon as you can. We're also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. We'll be taping a Mind on My Money podcast, I guess, sometime early this week. And it's brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust is also home to Pinnacle Trust 401k advisory services. If your retirement plan for your company isn't performing the way that you would like it to, call Pinnacle Trust 401k advisory services team today, and they'll conduct complimentary, no obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the Oxford Exxon podcast and get 10% off your first year's fees.
So McCarthy was at LSU 2007 to 2009. He was there with Terrence Tolliver, Brandon LaFell, and Early Doucette were the main LSU receivers.
Oh, I remember Early Doucette.
During that. That's
a blast from the past.
Yeah. And since then, he's kind of fell out for a little while, frankly. And then he came back in, got back in 2013 at Bethune-Cookman, was at Florida A&M, and then Kiffin picked him up at FAU after that. So even worked in the Canadian Football League there at one point. So he is well traveled, and he has not been in a big time program since that time at LSU 10 years ago. So interesting name there, more than anything else. We'll see. But does Peeler definitely obviously not being retained. So I'll
reiterate what I was told yesterday. There are 2 to 3 candidates for several of these positions, and it's a chessboard that has some moving pieces.
Because like at OC, Leiby getting interviewed tomorrow, they're still enamored with Kendall Briles, but he's a candidate at FAU, and that's got to shake out, I would think. I mean, that's kind of where we are there. So
Patrick says so much for the all-star staff. It's too early to say that. It's too early to say what they're going to do with the staff. They're if the Thompson stuff is accurate.
Yeah, if you end up with Bo Davis and Lance Thompson and some of these guys.
Tosh LaPui. Why did I say Josh? Tosh. I mean, those are all really good recruiters.
So, I mean, there are names there. You don't know yet.
Hang tight.
Yeah.
This is...
patience, guys.
He got the job. He got into Oxford on Sunday. He's been here for, as we tape this, 27 hours.
The OC is not really a figurehead, but it gives him lots of flexibility to figure out how he wants to put his staff together.
Yes.
Because he's more than comfortable calling his own plays.
Yeah.
And coaching his own quarterbacks.
Yes. So he can move people around.
Haven't heard Frank Wilson's name. Have you?
I heard it tonight a little bit.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. I have not to this point. Who's your guess? Starting quarterback next year?
Matt Corral.
You think it's Matt Corral?
Yep.
Feel good about that?
No.
You answered very quickly.
Well, you asked me who do I think is the starting quarterback next year, and the first name that came to my mind is Matt Corral. He's going to want to throw the football.
And he kind of uses the run.
Yeah, because he's got 2 really good running backs coming back at minimum, and I'm sure they'd love to add another 1 or 2. And so, you know, you want to keep defenses honest. You don't want to put 9 people in the box with Jerry and Ely back there. You want to have some versatility, some weapons. Yeah, I'm not going to get into the Corral Plumlee thing tonight. It's just ridiculous. I'm not doing it tonight. It's new coach, new scheme, clean slate.
He'll watch him throw, and he'll make a decision. Yeah,
nobody's ahead right now. Nobody. Grant Tisdale's back in the mix.
I mean, at some point, he's got to talk to Plumlee about baseball.
For all I know, Kincaid Dent's in the mix.
I'm sure
Ashford's going to sign, and he's in the mix. So that's a lot
of quarterbacks.
That's a lot of mix.
Busy room.
Yep.
A lot of dudes in that room.
They'll figure it out.
And they play quarterback. Look, let's go ahead and get this out of the way before next year. Quarterbacks who don't play, they transfer. Welcome to college football in 2019. I get the angst and why it happened this past season. It was a little bit of a different deal.
Transfer.
Yeah.
Playoff.
Yeah.
Fields. Transfer. Playoff. Jalen Hurts. Transfer. Playoff. That's 3 out of 4. That's carry the 2. 75%.
And then Trevor Lawrence, freshman, who played immediately.
Yes.
That's what happens. You play immediately or you leave.
Had he lost his job, he would have transferred.
Yeah, had he not been able to beat out Kelly Bryant.
Who transferred.
Yeah.
And played at Missouri.
And kind of sucked.
Got hurt.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're a freshman or you leave. So, when guys leave next year, chill.
Chad Kelly, transfer.
Somebody's going to leave. Bo Wallace, transfer.
Quarterbacks, transfer. So.
Whether it's in.
Safest bet in the world that sometime in the year 2020 of our
some
Lord,
Miss,
somebody's leaving. Somebody, at least one somebody is going to get into the transfer portal and stay in it and leave and find the new place to play.
Yeah, Jevon Snead, take it back as far as you want to take it.
Yeah,
a lot of them.
Yeah, lots. Swag Kelly, I stand corrected.
No, he's like guy next door now, you know, clean cut. I know. Yeah. I mean, you don't even recognize him.
You can tell he's trying to go, y'all can trust me. I promise I'm that phase of my life is over. I'm a good boy now.
It is. Huh? It does feel like he did this transformation thing. Yeah. Said, no. We're going to grow some bangs. We're going to do some stuff.
I'm going to shave as clean as is humanly possible.
Have you heard anything on D coordinator at this point? Where are we kind of with that? I mean, we're talking about a lot of defensive guys, but are we discussing coordinator?
I still hear Charlie Strong's name. No one has told me that I'm wrong on Randy Shannon. The only thing I've heard is that it won't be Golding. I guess it could be McIntyre, and it could be somebody that we don't know about. Maybe it's Tosh, who did not tear it up as a coordinator at Alabama.
Now, when he was a play caller, it wasn't very good relative to Alabama's. I think Golding kind of had a little bit of a bad slate. They had so many injuries, and they were still okay. I mean, that was not the defense they had planned to put on the field.
I think he would have taken Pete Golding.
Well,
yeah.
Recruiting.
Sure.
Recruit. We talked about this on the podcast today. Lane said this multiple times. So much of this is just recruiting. Get enough good players, and you figure it out. It'll be all right.
If you don't have enough
good players, then you have no shot. Period.
Yep.
Have no chance to do what he's trying to do. Because the West it's very good, but that middle's kind of soft.
In the West?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The middle can be...
Well, the top might be softer than we think it is. Let's just wait and see.
The LSU Burrow thing. You're kind of a believer in them, though, moving forward. I feel like you're more in, hey, no, they're there.
They're talented everywhere.
No doubt.
Super talented.
Yeah,
sure. More talented than Alabama, where I think there's some slippage.
Bama is starting to at least lose some battles. And
Auburn loses a ton of defensive talent off this team. A ton. Yeah, Jamie, we discussed the fact that coaches were in a recruiting picture today. I just would not read too much into that. Doesn't mean much.
Oh, the recruiting picture thing?
Yeah.
No, they're still hired. They're still on the clock. I mean, Ole Miss is not going to have such a skeleton staff that it can't send people out on the road. They're going to send out as many as they can, as often as they can. And I mean, the more interesting thing here is where Lane is going, because you only get one head coach visit. So using that now is interesting to me from a standpoint of, hey, do you just have to make sure they don't sign in December? Are you trying to make a last run at them in case they do sign in December? Is it just a Hail Mary? I mean, that some of that kind of stuff is interesting to me from the standpoint of why you're using them now versus other times.
Well, and a lot of the kids that, by the way, that sign in December don't have to sign in December.
No, that's my point. Yeah. So are you trying to say,
hey, just wait, come visit us, and if you still want to go to fill in the blank state, go.
Of course.
Pete, yeah. I don't know that I could do
the Pittman yes sir thing.
Yes sir, just gets old fast.
It's a gimmick. It's another gimmick.
I don't like gimmicks.
Just coach.
Just go coach.
If you had to buy stock in one of them right now,
one of the new head coaches.
No. I know that. I'm gonna say you. It'd be a little more expensive on you, but yeah.
I mean, I'd buy Drinkwitz before I bought
Pittman. Oh, I know that. That's my question.
Yeah.
If you had to buy stock in one of them, had to, Arkansas or Mississippi State is a program today.
Ooh. State.
Because I think you think Ole Miss is about to elevate above those.
I do. State.
You're still buying State over Arkansas.
Well, over Arkansas.
It's not exactly giving it.
I mean, throw me another or.
Carolina. Over State?
Yeah. Because if it doesn't work out with Will, they'll go get a good coach. That is a good job.
Ole Miss or Tennessee?
Ooh. As of today, Ole Miss. But it's close. He's doing a good job.
You do think he's doing a good job.
He's doing a good job.
Got Amari Thomas today. I mean, he was beating Sisters just for the poor a little bit. But,
yeah, I know. But he gets to play them at the end of every season. I'm not going to take away the job that I watched them some at the end of the year, and I thought there was clear momentum with the Vols.
A&M or Auburn?
Ooh, that's a good one. A&M or Auburn? Ed, thank you. It's very nice. A&M or Auburn?
There's always going to be shakeups on coaching changes. It's good. Get some reset in here. It's fine.
I think Auburn. It's really close. How bullish am I on Lane Kiffin? I think Ole Miss could pass A&M and Auburn. Not next year, but in 2 years.
Do you?
Or 3 years.
Okay.
The ones that I look at and go, oh, no.
Well, those are the two big boys at the top.
Like LSU right now, those muscles are flexed. Alabama could fade a little.
Now they can at least come back down in the stratosphere. There's no doubt about that. A&M still has this problem that they're not doing it. And until they do it, I can't buy in on them. At least Auburn does show the possibility and the propensity to do it. A&M doesn't. A&M, no matter what, they had Johnny and they were fine, kind of in it and fine, but there is a problem at A&M. There's something. I don't know what it is. We can't put our finger on it. But everybody goes, hey, they're right there. They're 10 or 11. They don't ever do it. They've never done it. Frankly, they do it less than Ole Miss does it.
Yeah.
Something is off, even though they have more money than good God what.
Pretty good point today. That message getting sent. I'll give Jeffrey the credit. He sent me a text on it. No camera went into, best of our knowledge. If it did, it hadn't come out yet. No camera went into that team meeting.
I'm going to give it a day before I go there. But, I mean, they got to.
They didn't blow it out of. Yeah, just not a.
It wasn't like the Ross Matt thing where they had them all in and did the. Going
to
go find.
And I'm not saying he was in there doing come to Jesus or anything. I just think he went in there and said, here's what we're going to do. We're a football program. Here's what we're going to do.
Layla was there today. We saw her.
Yeah.
His parents were there today. All the children were there today.
I think his sister was there today.
Was she?
I think so.
Yeah, they all came in the media room. Yeah,
Sexton was there.
Another agent was there as well. Yeah. He referenced them in the media thing.
Jimmy got the people at Sensei to open the kitchen back up last night. They were getting ready to close the kitchen.
Really?
I don't think he'll mind me telling you the story.
Sure. Did he tell you the story today?
Yeah, about 9:35 last night, Lane said, I'm starving. And Jimmy said, well, it's Sunday night.
In Oxford.
Yeah. And so they went to Jensei and
they were closing?
The kitchen had just closed and they got him to reopen it.
You mean Jimmy pulled off something in a negotiation?
Yeah. Imagine that.
That was handy to have Sexton in the room, wasn't it? He went back there and said, hey, look.
So what I've been thinking is,
what we got to do to make this kitchen reopen here? There's still some tuna sitting here. Can we slice that up?
Let's make something work.
That is funny.
No, I'm not overplaying. I like Lane Kiffin. I'm on record for 3 years now saying you should hire Lane Kiffin. I think it's a perfect fit. I have the column to prove it. November 26, 2017. I think he's the perfect fit for your program. And my initial reaction after seeing everything that he's done in the first 36 hours validates that. It's going to be hard. There's bumps in the road. I think he fits your program. I do. If I'm wrong, I'll be wrong. Keith Carter thought it after he met with him a couple of times.
Yeah, to Keith's credit, look, it took him a minute, and then, hey, we're in. Well, he said in that video, in that Lane Kiffin thing, we need a guy to come in and command a room. Okay, you found that guy.
Yeah.
That's what you said. Get rid of apathy. Somebody who's won some football games, command a room.
It's 1 o'clock on a Monday in Oxford. Students had final exams this week. 1 o'clock on a Monday afternoon in Oxford. And there's 4,000 people there. 1 o'clock on
there
a Monday.
There are more people there than there were at the Ole Miss basketball game on Saturday.
Ooh. Well, that's true.
Not really being, I'm not being rude. Just that there, sure there were.
Not getting mean.
I'm not being mean.
No, it's not about being an Ole Miss fan. I'm just telling you, I think Lane Kiffin's a perfect fit for your program.
Have Price beer today. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get one. I had a coffee.
We've talked so much big picture with Lane. We've talked so much what it's done just sort of for the fan base. But it's everybody right now. I mean, these last 15 days, whatever it's been, I guess it's been 15 days.
Hold that thought real quick. Yeah. Trinity, how did your visit go? Shit. Not a visit, an exam. You had an exam 10 minutes after the thing ended. How'd you do?
Ooh.
Were you mentally prepared? Did you do okay? I want to see her answer. Let's see how she did.
You got an A. What was it in? What are we studying?
I don't know.
What was the exam in?
I don't know.
Oh, am I seeing the answers before you're seeing them?
Yeah, she got an A.
I'm ahead of you for whatever reason.
Congratulations, Trinity. That's awesome.
All right. While she's waiting to tell us what she's studying in, I will tell you about Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape, Premium Lawn Care throughout northern Mississippi, custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, all outdoor living spaces. They really take care of you in that area. Paper patios, forestry mulching, and more. The patch your dream backyards. Each new thing with Master Cuts. It's gomastercuts.com for a free quote or 662-607-7773.
We're also brought to you by Nest and Wild. Sleep better with a Nest and Wild mattress. Nest and Wild is a Mississippi-based mattress company making a high-quality mattress delivered right to your door. They make buying a new mattress easy. Every Nest and Wild mattress is 1 foot thick, giving you comfort and support that will last. A lot online brands sell an 8-inch or 10-inch mattress with much less support and durability. But from the twin size to the California King, every Nest and Wild mattress is a foot thick. They're 100% American made. The pricing is competitive when compared to the rest of the mattress companies in their tier. And getting this quality of mattress for the money is a great value for the customer. And that's before we throw in the podcast discount. Also, if you want to feel even more altruistic about it, you can fight cancer in your sleep with a Nest and Wild. They have partnered with former major leaguer Jason Mott and his foundation in the fight against cancer. Nest and Wild donates a portion of every mattress back to Jason's charity. It's a no-risk decision. Nest and Wild believes in their product so much that they're offering a 99-night trial on every mattress. So try it out. Sleep on it for 99 nights. And if you don't like it, you can return it. Go to nestandwild.com. Order your mattress. Use the podcast code REBEL20 at checkout and get 20% off your purchase. Your mattress will arrive at your door in 3 to 5 days. We'll have picks up on Thursday. They're brought to you by Southern Craft Stove and Tap. And they have some amazing news to share. Just like the Rebels, they have something shiny and new coming very soon. So come visit their restaurant in Tupelo that opens on Wednesday. Enjoy all your Southern favorites from their carefully crafted menu. And enjoy a curated cocktail or one of the many craft beers on tap. It's located in the new Bank Plus building at 205 East Troy Street. Come get in on the fun at Southern Craft Stove and Tap. Don't forget to avoid the traffic on the square for their Oxford location, Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue. That's Southern Craft Stove and Tap. Just 2 weeks from Christmas. Time's running out to complete your holiday shopping. But thanks to our friends at Blue Delta Jeans, you can solve that problem today. Call them. Message them on social media or visit their new website at bluedeltajeans.com to purchase a gift card and give your loved ones the best fitting pair of jeans they'll ever wear. Additionally, Oxford Exxon podcast listeners with the pattern on file can get a free 2-week rush on their order using promo code podcast through the Blue Delta Jeans website. So go ahead and take advantage of this deal so you can show up to your Christmas parties in style.
I see a lot of you guys frustrated by Peeler being let go. Just look, trust this thing. Just they're never going to keep half the staff. Trust it.
Right.
It's a reset. I know you're conditioned to everybody just staying in the building, but it's going to be all right. Just let it play out here.
There's a culture change that's happening. It's a shock, system shock. And if you keep everybody...
There's no culture change.
There's no culture change. You just change the head coach. There's more change here than just the head coach. There's more change here than just getting ready for the Baylor game.
15 days, the entire place has gone from apathetic to just exuberant. 15 days.
And I'm going to be careful how I say this because I'm not accusing the previous staff of being lazy. They weren't. But kind of comfortable to now everybody's kind of on pins and needles. Everybody's attentive. Hey, look. That first year at Alabama was not fun for a lot of people in the building. That first year at Georgia, according to people who were there, was not fun for a lot of people in the building. That first year at A&M was not particularly fun for some people in the building. This is big boy football. You want to compete in this league? You want to win in this league? You want to be serious in this league? You can hate those programs all you want. You better acknowledge how good they are. You can hate them all you want. You better acknowledge where they are today. You want to catch them? You better get serious. And that's what happened today. Told somebody. I think Ole Miss stepped up today and said, okay. All right, that's what we want. I hear fans all the time. I just want to see that we're trying. Okay, well, trying's going to be some change.
Keith Carter got hired November 22nd, a little less than 3 weeks ago. Got a standing ovation from 4,000 people in the pavilion today. Less than 3 weeks in, after having to overcome the inside, down the hall, interim stuff, all that. 21 days. Less than 21 days.
Stand up to some boosters. As you said, massage them.
Yes.
You were very careful with your words.
Influencers, I believe, was the way I put it. Yeah.
You were careful with how you expressed that. Truth is, he kind of had to stand up to them.
I respect your opinion. Here's why I like him, and here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Made a decision.
Kind of had to be a badass, as Cavett Otis says. Kind of had to.
He's had a lot going on.
Had to show that
got
he's
got a volleyball change, got into this softball thing that's going on.
Yeah. There's some people worked up about that softball thing.
Are they?
Yeah.
Guys, non-revenue sports, you better be clean.
That's exactly right.
You can't have stuff in those sports. Just is what it is.
Too much. Well, here's a lesson.
They won. Had nothing to do with winning. He was good.
Some of the football stuff happened because they were already here for women's basketball. You don't want them on your campus. Your non-revenue sports, you need to have really good APR, good kids, stay out of trouble.
Winning's good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Winning's good.
But no crap. No Title IX stuff. No people filing lawsuits.
Boyce was fine today. I mean, whatever. It was fine.
He, you know what he did?
He stayed out of the way.
For the second time, pretty good awareness.
Yeah.
They're not
this here. This is not my room.
They're not here for me. Hello, Keith?
Yeah. Appreciate you coming. Good day to be a Rebel. Keith Carter, ladies and gentlemen. Moving on.
I mean, hey.
Yeah, hey. No, I mean, seriously. Yeah, that's good. No.
I know.
I mean, somebody said this today, and they're exactly right. Vitter would have made it awkward today.
Yeah, he would have tried to crack a joke.
Yeah, welcome. Say something.
Hello, let's get out of here. I'm out of here. Here's Keith.
Probably
Hunter, thank you very much.
Probably go to the Masters in April, I would assume. Right? I think.
I mean, I guess. I've always wanted to go.
Probably do that.
It's always busy, though.
Well, yeah, thanks. Oh, you mean just like here? Right?
Yeah, because it's like spring football and there's baseball and there's just stuff.
Yeah, mustache was still there, but otherwise, everything's fine today. No issues.
David Russell makes a great point. Ole Miss was everywhere today in the news. Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd, Paul Feinbaum, and Chris Lowe, by the way, of ESPN, was shadowing
Kiffin
yesterday and today.
So at some point, you'll see something there. I don't know.
He was very complimentary of you and me.
Chris was?
Chris was, yeah.
I like Chris.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Good dude. You don't hear as much from him anymore. He's a little more subdued than he used to be.
Yeah, getting a little older.
Well, you know, they used to have those blog things. You know, when he and Ashaw first got into that ESPN thing, it was all those like just constant blog stuff. And
he's one of the few.
Blogs have kind of gone out the window now. Yeah. That's not a thing anymore.
No, he's had to do a lot more TV, radio. He's a survivor.
I don't know if the Get the Burner Phone guy was a hero, but it's not a big deal. Move on with your day. Have some fun. Yeah. Laugh a little. It's going to be all right. Yeah. Somebody told me today that since Lane was hired through like 11 o'clock this morning, Ole Miss is like team shop, sold $60,000 in merchandise.
Really?
What I was told. True or not, no clue, but that's what I was told.
Well, Keith Carter told me as soon as the press conference was over that they had taken 500 new season ticket orders, not 500 tickets, but orders, sets of orders. I don't know how many tickets
they set aside 500 reserves or whatever to be taken today, and they were gone within the day.
Supposedly, they're opening up phone banks tomorrow, and they're expecting quite a rush.
Yes. Most people are in. Town's hopping a little more. There's a different feeling around town today versus a week ago.
Sure.
And it's kind of the sleepy time of year. It's not typically when anything's kind of jumping.
No, it's finals week, and then the kids get out of here.
Hey, good time of year.
It is
nice. It's a nice time of year.
Next week's a nice week.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow, big ticket day. It is. It's just different. It's.
I mean, look, I don't want to get into too much of our business. People say you guys are happy. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought we had a pretty good week last week with our coverage and stuff. We also sold more subscriptions in a week than we probably had sold in 3 years combined.
Is that rain?
Yeah, it's supposed to get ugly here tomorrow.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, temperatures dropping, ice, snow possibly.
Really?
This time tomorrow, yeah.
It's not very pleasant. Didn't know that. I know the ground's pretty warm, though. I mean, it was hot today.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to stick. It's just going to be nasty.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't think with what's going on there. Third quarter, 17-3 right now. Still Giants over the Eagles here as we're kind of moving through, getting close.
Ooh, that's a low hit on Carson Wentz. Goodness gracious. I bet that drew a flag.
I guess you had to turn your ballot in. I see here on ESPN coming out at 5:30 this afternoon or tonight or whatever you want to call it that the finalists headed to New York for the Heisman Trophy are Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, and Chase Young. Four guys headed to New York.
Three of those people were on my ballot.
Moscona made a good point yesterday I saw on Twitter where because there's not a clear-cut second place – Burrow got a really good chance of having a very wide win as far as one of those historic wins.
Oh, you think Burrow will win?
Well, yeah, thanks. I think he's going to get 90% of the vote. But in addition to that, I think the gap is going to be.
I signed a non-disclosure that I would not say who I voted for.
Okay.
I like Burrow's chances.
You do?
Yeah. He deserves it. Do I know if Layla and the kids are moving to Oxford? I don't think that's what their arrangement is, but I think what they do is they stay in.
I think they're still in California.
In California.
I think.
They flew in from California this morning. That was an early flight.
Yeah, because they had to get here.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps when you're just walking out on the tarmac and getting on a plane versus dealing with anything else.
Yeah, you're not going through security and stuff.
Yeah, you're just hanging out, but I understand what you mean.
So, probably a pretty comfortable flight, too.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah,
chilling.
Knox looked like he was very comfortable in the pictures I saw that got put up on
beautiful family, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful kids.
So obviously we'll have plenty more to talk about as we move through this thing.
Hey, throw me a pair of your socks. Do a little. There you go. Those are nice. Joe Burrow would probably like these.
Hey, well, you know, Moscano's got to deal with those guys. So
I know he does.
Yeah.
Thanks to
yours truly.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So you guys can get in on this too. It's transition time at Dead Soxy. If you want to celebrate LSU or Mardi Gras, can you see those? Did I do it right? Those are nice. Well, they're not the Rebel ones, but you know, you can't always wear red and blue everywhere you go. Those are good. If you want to celebrate their biggest sale ever, after their biggest sale ever, they've gone back to the drawing board to bring you new offerings for Christmas. Don't worry, they won't be forming any committees or doing national searches. They got this in the bag. Enjoy 30% off all your orders with promo code REBELGROVE. Make sure to get the stocking stuffer he or she will love. 30% off all orders, including already deep discounted sale items. As always, stay soxy. Don't forget College Corner Store in Jackson, two locations in Jackson. You can also get online collegecornerstore.com. It's your one-stop Christmas shop, presents for guys, gals, and kids. Get 30% off this week just by entering the coupon code LANETRAIN, LANETRAIN, at checkout at collegecornerstore.com. And don't forget, if you need a gift idea for your kids this holiday season, the Oxford Park Commission recommends signing up for the 2020 spring soccer season. If you played in the fall, you get to rejoin your team, just $25. And the cost for new registration is $50. Leagues are open for ages 5 to 15. The deadline to sign up is December the 22nd. For more information, visit oxfordparkcommission.com.
No podcast tomorrow because you just heard it. That's what this is for Tuesday. We'll be back normal hours on Wednesday and through the rest of the week. Plenty more Lane Kiffin talk, probably plenty more staff talk as well. So appreciate you joining us tonight. And we will talk to you again in a couple days. In the meantime, stay locked in to rebelgrove.com. Appreciate it.